Turn to your neighbor and say, Christ be praised for all that he has done. He has made a wretch his treasure. Think of that. Christ be praised for this work that he has done for mankind upon the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Jeremiah is going to follow along as quick as he possibly can this morning. We're going to basically be studying one word, but there's a lot to say about this word and a lot that it means in our lives. As we kind of get back on track for our word studies on Sunday mornings, we'll do just a little longer and then we'll move on to something else. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, in whom, speaking of Jesus and his work, it says, in whom we have, and here's our word for this morning, redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. We honestly could spend the entire morning just discussing this verse alone. In Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed through or by means of his blood. For the word tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But through the shedding of the blood of Christ, there is, according to verse 7, forgiveness of sin according to the riches of the grace of God, according to God's unmerited favor. We see this same idea repeated in Romans chapter number 3. And I go here so often that you're probably tired of these verses, but yet they remain true. In Romans 3 and verse number 24, the Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then in Galatians chapter 3, in verse number 13, where the Bible says, Christ, in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us, he says, from the curse of the law. Now, you may find that to be interesting. Why is the law referred to as a curse in verse number 13? Here's why. Because you can't keep the law. You can't keep it. And so what you can't keep becomes your condemnation, because we have broken the law. So the Bible says in verse number 13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Redemption. What does it mean that Jesus Christ has redeemed us? When I was a young boy, we were vacationing at a state park in Virginia called Douthat State Park. We were living in West Palm Beach, Florida at the time, and in the summer, to escape the heat of Florida, we would go to Virginia and we would try to catch fish at a lake there at Douthat State Park. Well, being a young boy, about 5 years old, I'm sitting at the lake, and there's a house there that you could rent boats and you could do things upon the lake. And I'm sitting there as a young boy, and people are carrying these boats out of there, just one after another. And I thought, hey, I need a boat. I would like a boat. So as a five-year-old boy, I grabbed a boat and left with it. I didn't know you had to pay for it. My parents tell me that I was chased by the shop owner down the shore of the lake until he caught me and said, young man, you need to pay for that boat. To which, I don't even remember this happening, to which I responded by putting my hands in the air and saying, I ain't got no money. That is a small picture of what it means to be redeemed. Christ has what was necessary to pay my debt. If we stand before a holy God and he asks you to pay the price for your sins, for breaking the law, you would have to respond by saying, I have nothing. I have got no money. I have no way to pay the debt that I have incurred. As you study the word redemption, there's really two thoughts or two ideas that begin to flow through the scripture. It has the idea of freedom and cost. Sometimes we understand the word redemption being akin to the word ransom. The secular use for the word redemption can refer to a transaction where a pawn shop broker would hold your item until you come and redeem them and buy them back at a price higher that was supplied by the pawn broker. Maybe that's an idea of some of the secular use. The secular use of the word ransom would have the idea of a kidnapper requiring something for the release of a victim. If you study the idea of redemption through the book of Leviticus, you'll find that it's the act of buying back people, our property, sold because of a debt. And that's in Leviticus 25 and following. And the purchase of the liberation of slaves. The idea of redemption is a purchase or a liberation of slaves, or the act of buying something back. In the book of Ruth, you see the idea of redemption, of rescuing a person out of slavery or poverty. The idea that it is a rescuing by paying of a price from someone who is held captive by something else. We say, well, Josh, I get that. I understand what the word ransom may mean or what the word redemption may mean, but how does that apply to me? And why does the Bible say that I have been redeemed by Jesus Christ? And why is it that I need to be redeemed by Jesus Christ? Let me tell you a few reasons why. Here's the first one. We stand before God utterly destitute of our own righteousness. We stand before God destitute or empty of our own righteousness. And I've explained many times that we are sinners by judicial decree. We are sinners by practice. We are sinners before God. We have no righteousness of our own of which to offer a holy God. Number two, we are powerless to even produce this in and of ourselves, as the Bible has declared so clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. I am powerless to produce a righteousness that is needed before a holy God. Number three, not everyone likes to hear this, but nevertheless it is true. Without Jesus Christ, we are slaves to sin, and we are in bondage to that sin. Look at the world in which we live. Look at the bondage and the slavery that sin has produced. We are slaves to that sin. Outside of the redemption and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, at the moment we put our faith and trust in Him, we follow after the desires of the flesh that are following after the pathway of sin. That's why the society term, maybe it's not as popular anymore, but the societal term for a long time was, if it feels good, do it. Do it. It's okay, because all that matters is an appeasing of the desires of the flesh. We are slaves to sin. Not only slaves, but we are in bondage to sin. We're in bondage to sin, as Romans 7 shows us in Romans 7, verse 7. Let me take you there quickly. We are in bondage to sin. Romans 7, 7 says this, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner, he says. For without the law, sin was dead. I'm a bondage to sin. I'm separated from God because of sin. Galatians 3 says, because of my own, as I just read, because of my own inability to keep the law itself has become a curse to me. Colossians 1 tells me that I'm under the power and the dominion of darkness outside of Jesus Christ. We're spiritually dead, cut off by our sins from God, the source of life. And according to Romans 5, we are under the rule of death. So my friend, this morning, I am in need of redemption. I am in need of someone to pay a price that I can't pay. In this condition, it's impossible for us to rescue ourselves, to deliver or free ourselves. It's impossible for us by our own efforts to do this. We are in ultimate bondage to sin in the power of darkness. We're held captive. When I was a young boy, I know I have a lot of wild stories, but my friend Jimmy and I, we decided it would be a fun idea to handcuff ourselves together. Not smart. It was going okay until his little brother took the key and threw it into the sagebrush field, of which we could never find. Jimmy's parents were already kind of strict, and we were scared to death. And so Jimmy and I take the quarter-mile trek up to his house, and we knock on the door, and we're there handcuffed together. What happened to you two? His parents said. We said, well, we decided we would handcuff ourselves together, and then Jeremy threw the key into the field. I am in bondage. I am stuck to Jimmy. Jimmy is now the sheriff of McKinley County, New Mexico, so I guess that rubbed off on him a little bit. But anyway, and so we had to go to Leo. Leo was the maintenance man at the mission where we lived, and we go to Leo's house and we say, Leo, could you do something about this? So he goes and he gets a bolt cutter and he breaks those handcuffs and we are freed. We were powerless. We were stuck to sin. You and I, outside of Christ, are in bondage to sin. The world. The Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. The world. Look at the world's fun. Look at the world's entertainment. Look at the world's decisions. Look at the world's direction. Look at the decisions that are being made in our world of individuals and families, and on we could go. Sin and bondage to sin. Sin is promoted as fun and exciting and healthy and helpful, even though none of those are true. The world is a slave to this bondage. And outside of the power of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, we will remain in this bondage to sin. So let's go back to look at these words after seeing a little bit of an understanding of this. We see, as I mentioned in Ephesians 1, that Jesus Christ, in Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, going the wrong way there, Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We need saving. We need someone to free us from this bondage. I'm just going to give you some rapid fire verses here. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 says this, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to pay a price I could not pay to set me free from the bondage that I am in. Is Galatians 3:13 that I already read. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Christ became a curse for me. As I already mentioned, Ephesians 1, 7, just the first part again, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Hebrews 9, 12 says this at the last part of the verse, He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Boy, Jeremiah's doing good. Good job. I didn't expect it to be there. Well done. And so he says in verse 12, he has obtained eternal redemption. How? By offering himself a ransom for my sins. Almost every song that we sang this morning was about the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That we grace greater than all my sin, the song sang this morning. It's greater than all my sin through Jesus Christ. Jesus has come and paid a price to set me free from bondage. Titus 2 and verse number 13 says this, at the end of the verse there, verse 13 and 14, he says, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, he says. Jesus gave his life to redeem us from wickedness. Now listen, let's just be honest for a moment this morning. This message and these words, you know, I understand that it may not be something that's like, whoa, yeah, let's stand and cheer. Well, we should stand and cheer. These are great truths of the Word of God that we can learn and that we can understand and that we can apply. But also, these are great truths that are not being talked about a whole lot nowadays. The truth of redemption that is in Jesus Christ. The truth of the work of Christ. The Bible talks about there being an age where men will have tickling ears and want to hear different things and doctrine and the truth of reconciliation and justification and sanctification and redemption. All these things will go by the wayside. The power in your life is from the Word of God and understanding the Word of God and applying the Word of God and glorifying the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for all that He has done. As Christians, we're too concerned about ourselves and we don't realize and glorify all that Christ has done. Christ has set us free from the bondage of sin. But the problem is we don't get as excited about it because we don't realize the bondage we're in. We don't realize that sin has a grip upon us. We don't realize that a lot of decisions we make are made because of our flesh and of sin and not because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Test yourself sometime and ask, are the decisions in life you've made, are they the prompting of the flesh or the Spirit? I don't know about you, but I've recognized the bondage I was in to sin. And when I see the freedom that is in Christ, I want to shout for joy. I want to be thrilled because I know where sin was taking me and I know what Christ has done for me. He gave himself to redeem us, to pay a price that I could not pay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says this. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, of which you were redeemed. But he says this, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. That's how he did it. He offered himself for our sin. Go to Revelation chapter number 9. Revelation chapter number 5, I'm sorry. Revelation 5 and verse number 9. One of the great portion of scripture here in Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9. There was once a man that was newly saved and the pastor gave him a Bible and he came back to church the next week and he told the pastor, he said, I read the entire book of Revelation. The pastor said, oh my goodness, that's where you decided to start in the book of Revelation? He said, that's exactly right. I hardly understood a thing except for this. We're going to win. That's all he got, right? Everything else was confusing. But in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Look at this. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. You have that's talking of Jesus Christ, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Jesus has redeemed us by his own sacrifice. We have been set free from the bondage of sin and of death through the work of Jesus Christ. So that helps us understand that redemption is the work of God through Jesus Christ. It is something that he does to and for us. He offers himself to pay a price and to pay a debt that he did not owe, but that I owed. We contribute nothing to it, and we have nothing that could be contributed to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, but faith alone in what he has done. I once heard a story that illustrates redemption, and I won't go much on past this, but a story that illustrates redemption. There was once a young boy, and maybe you've heard this story before, a young boy that had decided he would build himself a beautiful sailboat. And he worked in the shop, and he built the sailboat, and he worked on it and made it, and he painted it blue and put a big white sail on it, and he was so proud of the boat that he had made. Well, it came time for its maiden voyage, and he decided that he would take it down to the river, even though the river was flowing a little fast that day. The young boy took the boat down to the river that he had made with his own hands, and he placed it in the river. It was just 2 seconds before the current pulled that boat away from him. He ran along the side of the river trying to catch it, but it was gone. Oh, he was so disheartened because the boat had gone away from him. About a month later, the young boy is walking through his town, and in the shop window, he sees his boat. Same sail, same color. He knows he made that boat. He knows everything about that boat. He goes into the shop owner, who had control and possession of the boat at the time. He says to the shop owner, he says, "That's my boat." The shop owner says, "Well, no, it's not. It's actually mine. It's in my store and it's on my shelf." And the boy says, "No, I know that boat. I made that boat. I spent time on that boat and I was sailing it in the river and it got away from me." The shop owner says, "Well, it's mine now. I have possession of the boat. If you want the boat, young man, you have to pay a price." The young man went back home. He got all his money. And he came back to the store and he paid for the boat that he had made with his own hands and took it back from the shop owner. As he was walking home with his boat that he had made and paid for, he said to the boat, "You are twice mine. Not only did I make you, but now I've paid the price to redeem you, and now you are mine." Here's what the situation is. You were made in the image of God. No way around it. You didn't come from a monkey. I hate to bust your bubble. You did not swing in the jungle from your tail. You were made in the image of Almighty God. He knows you. He made you. He formed you. Your body is a miraculous wonder of the power of Almighty God. But mankind sinned against God in the garden. They disobeyed the instruction of God. Because of that disobedience and the sin in the Garden of Eden, man fell into sin, separating them from God. But mankind finds themselves in a powerless position where they are unable to keep the law. They're unable to produce righteousness of their own. They are sinners separated by God. So here's the plan. God says, the Bible says this happens even before the foundation of the world. The only one that can pay the price that they need is me. The only one that can provide the righteousness that man needs is me. The only one that can do what mankind needs to be forgiven of their sin is me. So that's why the Bible writes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes and is born in Bethlehem. He lives a perfect, sinless life the whole time. The plan is for Christ to go to a cross to redeem man that had fallen into sin. Jesus endures a terrible crucifixion. As I mentioned before, the worst part of the crucifixion, I believe, was not the nails, even though that's terrible, or the beating of the Roman soldiers, or the spitting upon that he took that day on Golgotha. But the worst part of that was when the Father laid the sins on Jesus. And Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the moment he paid your price. Jesus did not do anything to deserve the cross, but I did. I needed someone to purchase me back. So the very one that had made me, according to John 1, where he says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, the very one that made me comes to earth and is born in human flesh and goes to a cross and dies there, paying a price for my sins that I could have forgiveness of what I had done. He redeemed me. And not only has he redeemed me, but he has set me free from the power of sin because of the price that he has paid. And when you arrive in heaven through Jesus Christ alone, maybe that would be a statement that would relate to us. You're twice mine. I made you in my own image. You fell into sin, but my Son has paid a price on your behalf, and you have been redeemed, and you are mine once again, and you are delivered from the power of sin, death, and the grave. So no wonder Ephesians chapter number 1 writes that so clearly, as he says in verse number 7. That Jesus has redeemed us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I've been bought from sin through Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed and purchased by him. Let's bow our heads together. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and play a song for us this morning. In whom we have redemption through his blood. May Christ be glorified for what he's done. May we recognize the victory and freedom we have over the power of sin through Christ. Whenever I preach a message like this, I have to ask you a simple question. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you ever put your faith in Jesus? We are in the bondage of sin outside of Jesus Christ. But in him who paid a price, we have forgiveness of sin. Have you ever trusted Christ? If you're here today and you haven't, you can reach out to him by faith. Ask him to be your Savior and to forgive you of your sins. If you are here today and you do know Christ as your Savior, do you recognize all he has done? Do you understand the price that it costs for your redemption? Are we thankful today for what Jesus has done? on our behalf. I believe in heaven we'll sing songs of redemption, songs of what he did to purchase us from the bondage of sin. Take a moment and talk to the Lord there in your seat this morning as they play. You can look back up here. I know I always ask you to turn to your neighbor, but I got a longer saying for you now. Let's say it together, though. Praise God, I've been redeemed. Let's say that together. Ready? Praise God, I have been redeemed. Amen. Thank you, Cindy. Let's stand to our feet. We'll read our final verse together. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14. Here we go. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 14. One more time together, like you mean it. Ready? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 14. Praise God for what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. And Lord, we ask God that you would work in all of our hearts and that you would show us more and more of what you've done through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Father, we praise you for this glorious plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that it's by grace through faith. You've done it all. We praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.